Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here in the studio. My good friend Stephen Garchar is once again not with us in the studio, but he's with us by some kind of connection. Are you there, Steve?
Hi, Phil.
Yay, you're there.
Good to be with you.
How are things going down in Youngstown?
In the mission field. Oh, they're going wonderful.
Good. Well, I hope next week we can be in the studio together.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. So we better get started, because next thing you know, the music will be coming on. It always takes me by surprise.
It kind of does.
Yeah, I say, like, is that the music already? Yeah. But last week we talked about the church wanting to become more like the world, and we used an example from the book of 1 Samuel, where the Israelites wanted to be just like everybody else, and what everybody else had was a king ruling over them. The Israelites had God ruling over them, and they were a separate people, not to be like the nations, not to be like the others, but yet they said, we want to be just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the important part of that, I thought, was that God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, like they always have, and they've always rebelled. So don't take it personally, they're actually rejecting me. And I thought we should continue. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Are you someplace where you can read?
I am.
Awesome. How about start reading at verse 10 and go down a little ways?
Sure. So this is 1 Samuel 8.
Yes.
10. Samuel delivered the message of the Lord in full to those who were asking him for a king. He told them, the governance of the king who will rule you will be as follows. He will take your sons and assign them to his chariots and horses, and they will run before his chariot. He will appoint from among them his commanders of thousands and of hundreds. He will make them do his plowing and harvesting and produce his weapons of war and chariotry. He will use your daughters as perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take your best fields, vineyards and olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will tithe your crops and grape harvest to give to his officials and his servants. He will take your male and female slaves, as well as your best oxen and donkeys, and use them to do his work. He will also tithe your flock. As for you, you will become his slaves. On that day, you will cry out because of the king whom you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you on that day.
Whoa. Wait, let's pause there for a minute. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
If you do this, if this is Samuel talking to the people, if you do this, he's not going to listen to you anymore, because you've already broken the covenant. And he actually restates a passage from Deuteronomy where he says, you know, that God says the day is going to come when the people are going to want a king. And Samuel says here, oh, you want to have a king? Well, let me tell you what a king's going to do. And you read all of that. I'm not going to reread it, but he's going to take stuff from you. He's going to put your sons in the army. He's going to take your daughters as servants and bakers. He's going to take your crops. He's going to take a tenth of all your stuff. He's going to, you know, you're going to be making weapons for him. You're going to be making equipment for him. He is going to collect taxes, basically. And it's not going to be like when I'm your king. I don't take any of that except the tithe, of course, to the Lord. But a king is going to do all these other things. So if you surrender to the world, basically, that's what you're going to get. Now, in our time, as the church surrenders to the world, What are we going to get? The world says, hey, you know what? That's great. I'm glad you're changing things, but we don't want to hear about that anymore, and we don't want to hear about this anymore. And if you want to sing your songs and say your prayers and do your worship, you know, do it in your building, but don't do it outside of your building. We don't want to hear all that stuff. So the world now comes to dominate what you do and where you do it, just like a king was going to do that. And the world is going to step in. You know, the world is very demanding. You're going to have jobs that are going to be incredibly demanding. You're not going to have time to worship or sing. You're not going to even have time to take care of your kids. You're not going to have time to do any of these things. You're not going to have the moral discipline to not do this, this, and this, because when the world takes over, you're going to say, oh yeah, you know, some of that stuff is okay. And then later on, it's going to be, well, most of that stuff is okay. So the world is going to come in and make demands on you that you don't even have an idea at this point what all these demands are going to be. And so you want to be in the world. You want to be more like the world. You want to let the world into the church. Okay. But now when you pray to me, I'm not going to listen to you. When you ask for things, I'm not going to listen to you. When you plead with me for things, I don't even hear you, because now you've decided to surrender having me as your king to have the world as your king. So have fun. And this is where we're heading now.
When, as you're saying that, I'm going back and I'm looking at the first, at the very start of chapter 8. And Samuel appointed his sons judges over Israel, his firstborn Joel and his secondborn Abijah. And they judged at Beersheba. And it says his sons did not follow his example, but looked to their own gain, accepting bribes and perverting justice.
Yeah.
So the elders of Israel assembled and went to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, now that you're old and your sons do not follow your example, appoint a king over us, let all the nations rule us.
Mm.
They saw that his son, Samuel's sons, were not just.
Yeah. Wow.
So instead of really praying to God and asking him to rectify the situation, or praying, you know, how do you intervene in a situation like that? When we see injustice in our culture, what do we do? Do people get dismayed at the church and the those that God's appointed as shepherds and go, well, you're just like everybody else. You're this, you're that. The heck with it. You know, we don't need a church. We'll just be ruled by the world. But what really struck me here in the governance of kings, that section in verse 17, as for you, you will become his slave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were free in God, even though there was corruption, because their hearts, God still gives everybody the freedom to choose what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to act how they want to act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they surrendered their freedom and became a slave.
Wow. That's an excellent point. Yes.
And, you know, and the Lord will not answer you on that day when you cry out to him because of the king whom you have chosen.
Yes. Wow.
It is so critical in our day to choose leaders who are righteous, God-fearing men and women. Because if we place someone in power who is not, what do we expect?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A God-fearing person from someone who despises God, mocks God, blasphemes God? No. When from someone who says, well, my faith, I don't bring my faith into the public forum, then you shouldn't serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be a godless ruler.
Mm.
And thus, the people are going to get what they get.
Yeah.
They're going to become a slave to that person.
Mm.
I mean, this is very critical in our time because we're facing all this in our culture right now.
Right.
And in every day and age, people face it. But it's so intense in our culture right now.
Yeah, plus everything's at your fingertips, too. You don't even have to go outside of your house to be mastered by the world.
True.
And when you were that's an awesome point. And my mind flashed back to Cain, when God says to Cain, sin will be crouching at your door seeking to master you.
Yeah.
But you can master it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it takes some discipline, it takes some strength, it takes some effort to master sin. And you're not going to master it 100%, you know, but you're going to try to, you know, try to master it. But if you surrender to the world, if you say, well, I make the world my king now, and I don't want to be in the kingdom with a capital K, I just want to be in the world with a capital W, you become a slave to the things of the world, including the sin that the world has to offer. And I'm sure you've seen this happen, and I've seen it happen, and I'm sure everybody listening has had experience with men and women who were very strong in the faith and were working in churches and ministries and things, who now don't do those things anymore, who now have had either moral failings and have gone off somewhere, or just have just been so overwhelmed by things going on in the world that they're not even in the ministry anymore. And this is the same idea of who's your king. We know God says, I'm your king, and I'm going to give you freedom and provide for you and do all the things that benefit you.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we don't want that. We want to be like everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to minimize the, you know, the allure of the world, because, you know, all you have to think about is nowadays being an 18-year-old kid who's going off to college. And no matter how good of a kid you were and how many times you went to church and how many times how you tried hard to live the Christian life, you know, when you go to college, you know, you see all these things in front of you that you didn't see before. And the world is always going to try to take you away, try to take you out of the kingdom. And, and I'm not minimizing, that's a very, very difficult situation, but if you want the world to be your king, the world's happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the passage in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is at verse 11. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father.
Hmm.
I mean, Jesus is really going back to Samuel and saying, you're no longer slaves. If you follow my commandments.
Mm.
And that's what God gave them to do in the first place. And they went astray.
Yeah.
So, it's really striking here that they enslaved themselves, and Jesus has to come and free us from that slavery to sin.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, choose for yourself what you want to do.
Yeah.
But I think that last sentence there is very sobering, because if you choose this other king for yourself, you know, whether you're talking about a king to reign like they were, or we're talking about the world, we want to be like the world, he's not going to hear you on that day that you call. He says, I don't even know you. Who are you? You know, maybe you were following me at one point, but I haven't heard from you in quite a while. Who are you again?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you go to verse 19, you know, if you want to read 19 and 20, it just shows you the obstinance and the just total hearts in rebellion that they had, and consequently we have. But now instead of the church helping us to master these things, the church is starting to say, well, you know, a certain, you know, this is not, this is okay. And well, you know, we kind of support that. And, you know, we can have a group of pastors go down and bless the new abortion clinic because after all, you know, it's part of women's rights. And I mean, these things are happening now.
Yeah.
These things are happening now. But once you read 19 and 20, this is good.
Sure. The people, however, refused to listen to Samuel's warning and said, no, there must be a king over us. We too must be like all the nations with a king to rule us, lead us in warfare, and fight our battles.
Yeah. We want to be just like everybody else. We want to be just like they are. Oh, sure, they don't have a covenant with you, and they are a bunch of pagan polytheists, but hey, we want to be just like, we're tired of being different. We're tired of being the oddballs. I mean, how many times do you go to a place, especially in a work environment, and you start talking about the things of the Lord, and everybody looks at you like, well, okay, whatever. Or, if you or I go to a workplace and start talking about what we did over a weekend, most people would go, what? You did what? You went to where? That sounds pretty boring. I mean, I used to do that 2 years ago, but I used to have I had a patient who was a private detective, and he always would tell me interesting stories about people he was following. And I would always tell him, if you followed me around for a week, it'd be the most boring job you ever had.
No.
Went to the hospital, went to the office, went to a Bible study, went home. Went to the hospital, went to the office, went to a church, went home. Went to a church Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Bible study Sunday night, then went home.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty boring compared to what you're used to.
Yeah.
But the issue here that's very striking is their rebellion is such that after Samuel warns them of these things, and they're also in the book of Deuteronomy, I don't have the reference in front of me, they say, no, we're going to have a king.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't care what you say. And this is happening. I talk with people all the time that are in ministry. I talk to pastors all the time, and you start to see the cracks in the wall. Well, you know, we can't very well talk about that. Well, we try not to say too much about that. Well, you know, we don't want to lose our tax exempt status. We don't want to say anything about. And I say, well, and then one man actually said to me, well, people won't give any money if they can't tax deduct it. And I said, well, if that's the only reason people are giving you money, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I told him what I'm sure you've heard me say, that when you die and you face Jesus and he says, do you think he's going to say, wow, you know, you guys did a great job on keeping your tax exempt status? I was very impressed that you didn't make any waves. You didn't, you know, get in any kind of trouble. And, you know, look at all the thousands of dollars you saved over the years. No, he's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? Did you say what I told you to say? Or did you not?
Well, see, that's how the church falls into the trap of the world.
Yes.
You begin giving because there's a benefit back to you.
Yes.
Not because it's generosity from your own heart.
Yeah, yeah. And on the other hand, you know, I told one pastor, just take up a couple extra collections and pay the tax if you lose your tax exempt status. If you're preaching the truth, that's what's important.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, if you're giving something to gain something back, you've gotten your reward for it.
Yeah, that's right.
There is no reward in heaven for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in this, in verse 21, I don't know if you still have it in front of you.
I do. You want me to read it?
Yeah, why don't you read from there to the end?
Samuel listened to all the concerns of the people and then repeated them to the Lord. The Lord said, listen to them. Appoint a king to rule over them. Then Samuel said to the people of Israel, return each one of you to your own city.
Yeah. So God says, fine. They want to have a king? Give them a king. They don't want to listen to me? That's fine. They don't have to listen to me. Remember, they're rejecting me. They're not rejecting you.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel probably was pretty upset at this point because he tried very passionately to make the point and they didn't want to listen to him. So God tells them, hey, just go ahead and do what they want. You know, our culture has said, you know, Lord, we don't really need you around anymore. I mean, maybe at one time we needed you, but yeah, we're perfectly capable now of making our own decisions and deciding what's right and wrong. Cause after all, we've taken more than one bite of that apple.
Yeah.
Maybe even Adam took one bite, but we've eaten the whole apple now. So we really know what's going on. So thank you very much for what you've done in the past, but we'll take it from here.
And you know, from Samuel, he would hear the voice of God. He would listen. He would talk to God. And when you're in that position of relationship with God and you see the people rejecting the sovereignty of God, mm-hmm. It has to grieve you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see God from a different perspective than they are because you've encountered him.
When I used to witness to people in my office and if they were really hard and they really went on about whatever they were on about and they would leave, I would sometimes just kind of sit there going, ugh. And I would start to feel dejected.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to remind yourself, well, they're not rejecting me. I did what I was supposed to do.
Right.
And they've rejected what I've said. Well, remember, we're just the ambassador. We're not the king. They actually rejected the king. But, you know, Samuel, I'm sure, probably felt pretty bad. But in our culture, I mean, we feel bad too when people don't hear the word. And now as we've pushed God to the horizon and even past the horizon to now there's not even a mention of him.
Right.
Then he says, fine, do what you want. But then, mm-hmm. don't come on your knees when there's something like 9/11 or something like a economic crash and say, why aren't you helping us? Oh, now all of a sudden you want me to help? And he gives in, not gives in, but he says, fine, you want to have your rebellion? Have your rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't interfere with our free will.
No, and that's what we're dealing with is because our free will is there so that we can choose to love God out of the freedom of our own heart and not be coerced into it as a puppet.
Yes. He doesn't want 8 billion robots going,
right.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Right. Yeah.
You can make that decision. Just like, if you reject him in this life and you don't want to be with him, he will oblige you in eternity by not being with you. And he may say to you, well, you didn't want to be with me when you were alive, so now you're going to get your wish into eternity as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says there will be those who will say, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name?
Yeah.
Even your name, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah. And, after that, I don't remember the exact quotation, but you know, he says, you're going to look and you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the people that have been saved having dinner, and you're going to be outside wailing and gnashing your teeth. Oof.
Yeah.
It's very scary. He doesn't interfere with your free will. And as Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, likes to say, he doesn't drag you kicking and screaming into heaven. If you don't want to go, he's not going to force you to go.
No, he certainly doesn't.
Yeah, so, again, pretty interesting lessons from an Old Testament book. Is that the music already?
It is.
Oh, man, I still have some more notes. Well, anyway, I guess we'll have to pick it up next week. I hope you can be in the studio next week.
I should be able to, yeah.
All right, so, well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that our hearts would be open to you, Lord, that we would be free in your love and mercy and forgiveness and not slaves to sin. So we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.